former Utica mayor and current candidate for the Common Council president, Tim Julian, in the studio. Tim, it's already started the political season. It's early.
It's very early. It's very early. It's unfortunate it starts this early because I don't think people are really ready or wanting to be ready for it right now.
But yeah.
It's starting. It's starting.
It's like we're just not even into summer yet. And when's the primaries?
The primaries will be in September.
September. Petitions are out.
Petitions are out. And then, of course, general election in November. So if you look at it, it's a ways away.
It is.
It's almost a full 6 months away.
It's got to take a long campaign like this. It's got to take a toll on you.
Yeah. You know, it certainly does take a toll on you. And you know, from what I recall, and this is, again, just really starting. So, you know, it's going to be what it is going to be, obviously. And you know, it's going to take work and perseverance and certainly getting the message out of what can and should be done to benefit the city of Utica and the taxpayers and the voters in the city of Utica. I think that's the important things.
All right, let's get into it. There's a commercial running right now for your opponent,
yep.
the endorsed Democrat, Bill Morehouse.
Current
council president. Yeah. And he said there's some, you made some statements somewhere else. I'm not going to say where, but apparently he took some offense to you labeling him as, you know, he voted for the J.K. Hayes report and everything like that. We'll clear that up.
Took some umbrage to it.
Yeah. Umbrage. That's my favorite word lately. I've been trying not to use it.
I gotta write that around the wall.
Umbrage.
So, you know, yeah, I was on a competing morning radio show, let's say.
Yeah.
Is that good? And
who isn't as good looking, but, you know.
During that, I'm not even going to comment. And during that that initial talk, again, at the time, I had requested the information for the ENA minutes for the last 4 years from the city of Utica. I hadn't gotten them yet. However, many of the things that Mr. Morehouse has done has been really in lockstep with the current administration, current Mayor Dave Raffaro. And even his commercials will, you know, tout the fact that they're all working together to make this, you know, to push the city forward and what have you. And I take, you know, I'll paraphrase that. And during that interview, I stated that Mr. Morehouse had voted for the Hage Grow West investigation, and he voted for this year's budget. Mr. Morehouse immediately called up the radio station that morning and said, you know, I did not vote for either one of those things.
And so he didn't vote for the budget or the investigations.
Right. So, you know what? And on the air, I said, well, you know, if he didn't, good for him. And truly, you know, if that's the case, then yeah, good for him. But let me qualify all that by saying this, that as the second in command of the city of Utica, as the second highest ranking elected official in the city of Utica, who sits on the board of ENA, which really dictates everything that goes in and out, mm-hmm. back and forth in the city of Utica, your responsibility to the taxpayers does not begin and end with your no vote. You don't say no, brush off your hands, and turn around and walk away. But interestingly, I did get the ENA minutes later that afternoon that I was on that show, and the one thing I did find was that he didn't vote on this year's budget because he didn't show up.
Hmm.
I mean, that I have right here, actually. You're going to see that the 2011 Who's Missing for the vote, and you can see it, so you can qualify it there with me for the budget vote for 2011 for the city of Utica. The most important vote you will take as a member of the board of ENA and Mr. Morehouse is, what would you say?
Well, I don't see him being present for this.
So absent, would that be correct? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
No, that you don't. Yes.
So you know, in looking back, I saw the other budget votes that were taken over his tenure, and he voted for the budget in 2008. And when he first got into office, so a few months, 2 months into it, he voted for the budget that came out then in 2008. In 2009, interestingly, he was absent again. And these are meetings that are very well, announced in advance. You know, the budget's coming out to begin with anyway. And again, so now we have half of the budget votes that Mr. Morehouse was, as his job, is council president, which is leading the council every 2 weeks and essentially showing up to ENA meetings once a week. He missed half of the budget votes of his so far 3.5-year term. Now, interestingly, in 2010, he did show up for the budget vote, and I have this actually highlighted here as well, and I was wondering if you, as the news person, could read his. He was there. He voted no for the budget in 2010. Could you read that?
This is from an official document from
official
the city
document of, from the city of Utica, Utica, copied out of the ENA board meeting minutes.
Man, God bless you for going through that, by the way.
It was
ten years
at best, yes.
I'd stab my eyes out if I had to read all this. Let's see. This is from the Board of ENA from Proceedings 2010. William Morehouse, Common Council President, stated for the record with regard to his no vote on the budget that this is the only way he could show his distaste for the property tax increase, as he does not have a vote on the budget as Common Council President.
Now, is that...
So he...
he voted no to show that he doesn't have a vote for... I don't know. And I don't know how it was read or couched or what have you. But this is part of the problem. The part of the problem is saying no to everything, but without coming up with a solution of how you're going to take these no's and make them into, this is how we can do it better. And I think that there's some other votes that I've seen that are problematic as well. That being said, these will be things we'll talk about down the line. Now, interestingly, Mr. Morehouse has said, you know, we're going to keep this, you know, 4 years ago, this was a clean campaign. Now, all of a sudden, this is becoming very, very negative very quickly. Although he's the one with the commercials calling me the liar, right?
Well, liar, mistruths, you know.
And again, did I misspeak? Yes, I did. Did I immediately apologize for that when he clarified that? Yes, I did. But did he clarify the fact that he didn't show up to the vote or he didn't vote for the budget? There's a big difference there, Mark. A big, big difference. The people of the city of Utica hired you by electing you, hired you to do a job, and that job wasn't being done. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Morehouse thinks that talking about your record over the last years is getting personal. It's not getting personal. It's talking about your record. People deserve to know what your record is. I have a record of government as well, and I am more than willing to stack my record up against his record and let the taxpayers and the voters decide who they feel is the better candidate and the better person to do the job. You know, there's a lot of problems facing this city, many, many problems facing
this city. Yeah, you ain't gonna.
And many of them are major financial issues. And, you know, I think it was Albert Einstein. He said something along the lines of, you cannot fix the problems you have utilizing the same mechanisms you use to create them. And I think that that's something that we really need to look at. Now, you know, if you go back to the 8 years I was in the mayor's office, we started out, city was in junk bond status. We had no fund balance to speak of whatsoever.
Much like we right now. I mean, there's no fund balance.
There's no fund balance.
Yeah.
It's been worked right through. You know, we had outstanding union contracts. We had police cars that were essentially rotting into the ground. We had fire equipment that was essentially rotting into the ground. We had a non-accredited police department. We had, you know, really a common council that was running amok and really just doing whatever they felt like doing and causing the city of Utica to be a laughingstock. We had very little, if any, development. Does any of this sound familiar?
Well, you know, it sounds like it's all right now. It sounds like you could be talking about last week.
Yeah. And you know, I'll say this. Before I was involved in politics and before I was involved in government, one of the things I used to do is I used to, you know, sit and see the council meetings and read about the council meetings on TV and or read about them in the newspaper and watch them on TV and things like that. And I was, you know, almost embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because this is really, this is the group that's showing you you know, what the city's made of. And you know, they could show perseverance. They could show the opportunity to get along. They could show the, you know, that things could get better. They could talk about the things that are happening and going on, and they can talk about how we can solve our problems. And if you watch these council meetings now, that's not happening. That's not happening. It's almost like a three-ring circus.
A lot of yelling.
And a lot of yelling. Yeah.
A lot of going over their caucus time.
And the council president is one of the people responsible for keeping that in check and keeping that in control. It doesn't seem to be doing that right now, and I think that we need to get back to that. We need to have some respect for each other. We need to have some self-respect, and we need to have some respect for the city and really City Hall. I mean, one of the things I ran on in 1999 when I ran for council president was the fact that we needed to return the decorum back to that chambers, which we were able to do. We were able to do, and Pat Donovan was able to do it after I left. So the fact that it can be done is out there, and people know that. And I think people deserve better than what's going on right now.
We're speaking with current Common Council candidate for the Republican Party, Tim Julian, former Utica mayor. So how do you want to fix things? How are you going to bring, you know, the decorum back to the meetings and get the financially fiscal again? Because I was at the finance, last finance meeting, and it didn't sound too good for the city of Utica. It sounded like if you were somebody just walking into the city and sitting down at this meeting, you would get right back up and get in your car and drive somewhere else.
Right. And you know, that's the problem. And that's the concern you have, is that when you look at the lack of development, I mean, everything works hand in hand. You can't look at any one thing in a vacuum. You have to look at every piece of the city of Utica and you know, and the city of Utica budget and say, okay, what do we need to make sure happens? You can't just look and say, okay, we got to get, you know, this budget straightened out and then everything will happen. Or we have to get, you know, this. I mean, it all starts very simply. You need a clean city. You need a city that is well kept, that is inviting when people drive into it. It's inviting when people see it. And really, truly, I don't think right now the city looks all that inviting. I think it could look a lot better than it looks right now. And this is easy because we have the manpower, we have the people in place to make that happen right now. And that is not the case. You know, and one only need to look at the last snowstorm that we had in the city and realize that, you know, we're dropping the ball here. And there's not a reason in the world where we drop the ball. Because, again, I'll say it over and over again. The men and women of the DPW know what they are doing.
Right.
They know how to make this stuff happen. You need the leadership in place to make this stuff happen. And the problem is the leadership has been absent. The leadership in the city of Utica has been absent for a long time now. And it's very absent right now. So what we do need to have is we do need to have the city looking its best. You know, so that's a part of the puzzle. I read a story recently that there's 3,000 vacant buildings in the city of Utica. 3,000.
That's a lot. You can look out the window on the other side of the building and see one with a roof collapsed on Bleecker Street.
Sure. You know, it's like 1/6 of the properties we have in the city of Utica are right now vacant and ready. And, you know, we need, before we go into another arson problem, before we go into another problem with major vandalizing of properties, before we end up with more makeshift drug houses along the way, we need to start going back into a heavy demo program and working these properties and getting rid of some of these properties that are there. When I was in office and when I left office, I know that we had that number well below 1,000, well below 1,000, which is still unacceptable. But nonetheless, if you recall, certain members of the council at the time didn't want us to demo any buildings.
Well, a lot of people right now would say they don't want you to demo buildings. I know there's a moratorium that's just saying that, you know, in committee saying let's not tear down any buildings until.
Which really, you know, if you can knock down 3 or 4 a week, which we do have the capacity to do, I would say do that. Because this is stuff that's, you know, not going to happen.
Well, you know,
it's going to be a problem.
Everybody's focusing so much on the HSBC building with this thing, and there's more than just the HSBC building.
Well, there's absolutely more than just the HSBC building. I think drive up and down any side street in the city of Utica, and you're going to see some problems.
Yeah.
And I think that's troubling.
Make sure you have a cap on your coffee, too, while you're driving down there.
Well, because hey, look, if you want to look at the paving and the roads and the streets and things like that, that's a major problem as well. That's another piece of the puzzle that you have to make sure does happen. You know, these aren't things that you're going to turn around and say, you know, we can't pave every street in the city.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we have 225 miles of streets in this city. And as that, in order to do that, you're probably talking about, close to $250 million.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? We don't have that.
Well, there was just a big argument in the council, at the council meeting last week about transferring $100,000 from paving and repairs to just paving or I forget what it was. It seemed, you know, nitpicky, but by law they had to do it. And they were arguing because they didn't have $100,000 to, you know, really transfer around.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, you know, and then it was a special meeting was called for, and then it was a couple of members said it was an illegal meeting, and then Joan Brennan fired back saying, no, it was a legal meeting. And it's just, and things like that are really discouraging, I think, for the average, you know, person.
They're discouraging.
To go and watch.
And they're discouraging and they're distracting. And hey, look, I'm going to put out a name right now that I think everyone is pretty much sick of by now. Anthony Weiner. Okay? There's a lot of problems and a lot of issues going on in government right now on a federal level that need to be looked at, looked at very seriously. Yet the world has been standing with rapt attention over the last 3 weeks.
It's really been ridiculous.
For Wienergate.
Yeah. I can't. I'm so sick of hearing about this. I mean, come on. You know, the guy did what he did. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he has several illegitimate children, and he's still governor.
And let's face facts. Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, right?
Did worse.
Yeah. And then you got that guy in Missouri that, what is his, Vetter?
You know.
It's just,
And look, it's one of those that it's a distraction.
Yeah.
These are all distractions. Yep. And taking people away from the business that they should be conducting and the business at hand, which is really, truly trying to make this area better. Now, we've got a major event coming up in 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks now, 20 days, that this city has to look its best, look its greatest, look its finest, and you know, really be on high alert to make sure that people see what we have here. And I think that, you know, that's got to happen first and foremost. I remember when my first year in office as mayor, I became mayor, literally, it was Tuesday before the Boilermaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a very interesting week.
I can only imagine, with all the things going on
for the Boilermaker and making sure the city looked its best and going through and all these things that occurred. It was a very, very hectic week, to say the least. So that week is a difficult week to begin with. So really, I mean, you've got 2 weeks that are your lead up to that final week when it becomes very hectic. So yeah, I mean, the streets are part of the process. If you look outside now, you see the replacement of the signals on Genesee Street. I mean, that was a grant that I had gotten, back in my waning years in office. Congressman Bollert got that for us, and it was part of the transportation bill. So, you know, that was a big part. It's good to see that getting done and getting some of these street lights replaced and these signal lights replaced. If you look along, another piece of the puzzle would be, the events and some of the things that go on. Now, you know, there was a lot of events happening in and around the city of Utica this weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think some competing radio stations or.
Sure. I went down there. It was nice at City Hall.
I stopped down there as well. And it was a great event. It was well put together. And you know what? People want things to do.
Speaking of that.
Okay.
15% surcharge on alcohol sales, $1 for every ticket. What do you think? Where do you weigh in on that?
Well,
People are really for it or really against it. It's not really a middle of the issue or middle of the road issue right now.
What people need to realize is that anytime we have an event like any of these events, even if it's a walkathon, if it's a running race or what have you, it requires manpower on our part to put these events on. And they come to us and say, we want to have this in the city of Utica, and we want a permit. And the cost of the permit doesn't cover things like the police coverage.
Right.
Doesn't cover things like the paramedic coverage if necessary. It doesn't cover, most of those times those people are coming in on overtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's a substantial cost to the city.
Yeah, that's the number one cost.
So I would say this. I think first off, if something is sold and rightfully sold within the confines of the city of Utica or within the confines of Utica County, then yeah, sales tax of some sort should be put on it. Now, that being said, if you're serving beer in a cup and you're charging $3 or $4 or $5 per beer, I think there's some wiggle room in there for you to charge tax and put that in as part of the deal. Now, further than that, as far as an actual surcharge on it, I would say maybe one or the other, but I think the event over the weekend was mostly organized by the people who put it on and it required very little city resources other than resources day of to put it on. I think I think it should be looked at on a case-by-case basis. And if there is someone who is really putting up a large portion of something, if they're expecting us to do a lot of the work for them, well, that's one thing.
Right.
But if they're in there and they're really doing a lot of the work and a lot of the things that are happening, then I think that we have to look at it on a case-by-case basis, I think.
And what would you plan on doing? This HSBC building really is really not an issue because the city doesn't own it.
Correct.
And they probably won't own it for a few more years.
Right.
So if you get into, if you're lucky enough to get elected, how do you address this issue? Because the council right now is really worried about this turning into another Roosevelt High School.
Right.
Or elementary school, middle school over there in Utica. And it's just sitting there. It looks like, a...
Washington, whatever it is. First off, one thing we started doing under my administration was bringing cases to Supreme Court. And Supreme Court was able to compel the owner to either fix or demolish, and in a pretty aggressive time frame. And I think this is certainly a structure that needs to have that done to it. The owner needs to look at it and say, hey, look, you're either going to do something with this building or you're not going to do something right. with this building. You know, with that, it needs to be brought to the Supreme Court. It needs to go through the proper channels, the proper mechanisms. To buy it, I think, is really kind of rushing the issue.
Yeah.
I think that right now it shouldn't be even in the negotiation stages, because someone may just say, hold on. Well, I'm going to hold on and wait mm-hmm. for the better part of forever. If the building is let go by the present owner and continues to deteriorate, I think the building is in rough shape. I think it was in rough shape a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we look at that particular property, interesting, out in Syracuse, one of the things they just did is they took an older building that was in very dire straits, and they took the facade off the building.
Hmm.
I mean, they removed the facade from the building, not unlike you could do here with the marble facade that's on this building. They took the facade off the building, and they stored the facade. They built a parking garage, and then they returned the facade to the structure.
Right.
And I think that would be, if you're going to create a garage there and create surface parking there, that is something we need. I think that if you have a garage down in downtown, which I was a proponent of a garage, I will maintain myself as a proponent of the garage. But if you have a garage down here, it's going to benefit. I think it's one of those, if you build it, they will come.
Well, yeah,
instances.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that people will look at when they looked at the Harza building, or when they look at space in the building we happen to be in right now, the Adirondack Bank building, or any of the properties downtown, they say, well, where are we going to park?
Right.
And, you know, is there parking? Yeah, there is some street parking, but
yeah.
that's an issue at times when they go past the time limit. And I think that if you have a garage at the ready, it will be much easier to fill these buildings, because I think there's opportunities. I mean, the Harza building, great.
Oh, yeah.
You terrific know, building.
It's ready to go right
now. At one time, the tallest six-story building in the world.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Wow, dropping knowledge.
If you look at it, actually, and right next to the building we're in, it's reaching up to almost the 10th floor of this building.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So,
yeah.
Which equates out to nice high ceilings and airy flow in the building. So one of the things that we're going to see happen, I mean, we showed that property to prospective buyers before mm-hmm. that would have been great tenants for downtown. And they looked at it and they said, well, geez, if you only had a place to park.
Right, yeah.
Well, to tell a business, a company, a group, you know, well, we're working on it. In a couple of years, yeah. I think we're going to have some real nice parking for you. Well, that's not going to cut the mustard
yeah. for
them. So I think that we really need to look at this opportunity to put a garage up and make that happen some way, manner, or form. I think we've bonded for worse things over the last few years, and I think that we need to look at this and make this this become a reality in downtown Utica.
Prime time, Jim Julian. I'm personally looking forward to this campaign. I am especially looking forward to the mayor's race with on the Republican side between Seminaro and Cardillo. I think that's going to be a very interesting race. And, you know, Palmieri's already starting to kind of attack Cardillo. So
I don't get that. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that either. He's not really even running against Cardillo right now.
No, not really. No.
So it doesn't. You know, Mike Seminaro's got to be sitting back.
Generally, the idea is in the primary is to let the two primary people kind of go after each other, and you know, and you come out looking pretty good. You know, I guess the big thing is that everyone stay focused, as difficult as that will be over a length of time we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But we ask that, you know, people stay focused and remain attentive and really show up and vote. Because that's the big thing. I mean, in a primary, in a Republican primary in the state of Utica, I am looking right now and projecting out that if we hit 2,300 voters showing up, that'll be a lot. And that's to decide who your mayoral candidate is going to be and all your other candidates that may be primarying. That's not a lot of people.
No, it's not.
Not a lot of people. And, you know, in an actual election itself, out of the 62,000 plus people we have in the state of Utica now, you're going to see maybe, you know, 10,000, 13,000.
Yeah, that's sad.
That's too bad.
That's
too bad, because this is an important year for the city of Utica.
Absolutely.
It's a very important year.
I think this is one of the most important elections that the city's been facing.
Local government affects you locally.
Yeah.
Federal government and state government affects you on issues that you generally don't do, have a lot to do with on a day-to-day basis. But when you're talking about your streets getting paved and your parks getting taken care of and your snow getting plowed and your garbage getting picked up, that's local government. That's why people really should be involved.
You know, and I say around here, if you know, talking to people about local issues, that, you know, the average Utican doesn't really care about local or about national issues. I mean, not to say they don't care about, you know, what the way the country's going in, but people are more concerned in Utica, I think, than any other area about what directly affects them and what you can do for them immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think they're a very aware electorate. The problem is they just got to get out and vote.
That's right.
So,
Tim Julian, thanks so much, buddy.
Mark, thank you, buddy.